This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. There are bike share programs in dozens of cities across this country. Rows of branded bikes ready for quick and easy use by everyone and anyone, kind of. There is a growing body of research that finds the advertised universal access really isn't. So from WESA in Pittsburgh, Marketplace's Erica Barris went to find out who is using those bike shares.
The short answer? Lots of people are. So much so that I'm here on a busy street outside Pittsburgh's bike share headquarters watching the staff unload a shipment of nearly 200 bikes. Pittsburgh's Healthy Ride bike share program is growing from 50 stations 3 years ago to 175. David White, who runs the program, says that was always the plan, but
bike share systems start with a small number of resources.
Many bike shares like this one are nonprofits that fund their programs through grants and corporate sponsorship. To learn more funding, they need to show they're successful. And initial success means putting those bikes in places where they'll get used. That's transit hubs, spots with lots of foot traffic, and touristy areas, which tend to be more affluent. Often overlooked are poor, blighted neighborhoods. This strategy has left bike share programs open to criticism.
The users tend to be young, white, higher income, higher educated.
That's Jennifer Dill, urban planning professor at Portland State University. She's researched these programs in some low-income neighborhoods in New York, Chicago, and Philadelphia, and found only 4% of respondents there were bike share members. She says the systems can be an asset, but
when they aren't serving the entire community, that's not a good thing.
A big part of the discrepancy? The way bikes are rented. Many of them require apps or credit cards. That means people without smartphones or cards can't use them. And not all neighborhoods are bike friendly. Gabe Klein, who got Capital Bike rolling in Washington, says one reason for that is rooted in the past. During urban renewal in the 60s, highways were largely plunked down in black or brown neighborhoods.
Here we are 50 years later, and we're dealing with the impacts still. And we have these big, wide thoroughfares. Sometimes they're 4, 5, 6 lanes.
And that doesn't lend itself to cycling. But research shows demand is there. Jennifer Dill says nearly 3/4 of low-income residents she surveyed thought bike shares were a good idea. Recently, cities have been trying to make bike shares more accessible. Philadelphia has a cash payment option. Boston offers discounts to people who receive food assistance. In Pittsburgh, bike share director David White closely watched what happened with programs elsewhere. When Healthy Ride was established a few years ago,
it really was kind of a reaction to some of those other cities.
So to get the demographics of riders to match the demographics of Pittsburgh, the cost was set at $2 a half hour, around the cost of a bus ride. There isn't a big sign-up process, no hold on a card, and no need for a smartphone. And since October, anyone with a transit card can use a bike for 15 minutes for free.
We wanted to make a model where it felt like an easy way to access just another transportation tool.
So far, about 1,000 more transit users have tried Healthy Ride. While White's staff is unloading bikes from a shipping container, Dino Lombardo and his friend Ross Bucaro walk up. They've heard they can use their transit cards to use the bike share and want to get signed up.
I can still ride the bus too, right?
Yes.
Both men live in subsidized housing and collect disability. Bucaro doesn't have a smartphone and, like his friend Lombardo, doesn't have a credit card. Most months, he says, there isn't any leftover money.
I don't have the money to ride the bike if I didn't have the Connect card. You understand?
But now they can ride. Although for Bucaro, there's another barrier. He hasn't been on a bike in about 40 years. In Pittsburgh, I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.